Hi, this is Morty Lefko, and I have a very exciting guest with me today, Dr. Margaret Jamal, the author of the book, When Girls Don't Tell, A Survivor's Story of Child Sex Abuse and Revictimization. And she's had some experience with how sexual abuse affects our eating and how sometimes eating can be a defense or a way of dealing with that particular problem. So I'm very excited to hear your story today, Margaret, and whatever you can tell us about how sexual abuse can sometimes lead to body issues, overeating, and what you've done about it and what recommendations you might have for my listeners. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me, Morty.
Yes.
I'm excited about this.
So if you could tell a little bit about your background and how this all arose for you, and we can then have a little conversation that might illuminate some of the issues that might be useful for the people who are listening to this interview and who are reading a transcript of it.
Okay. Well, my earlier background, the abuse actually began from age 4. And I came up in the city of Chicago, the west side of Chicago, and we lived in the projects. My mother was a single parent raising us, and as so many situations happen with single mothers, the children find themselves engaged with the boyfriend, who was our stepfather at the time. My stepfather was actually the father of my younger sisters. And he started sexually abusing me. He started molesting me at age 4. And it just kept going into my later years. And so I talk about revictimization because I was one of those people there. Say about 25% of people who have been sexually abused actually get sexually abused later on in life for different reasons that I discuss in the book. And so it happened to me repeatedly in grade school, in high school, in college, with different people. And so I definitely had a lot of issues. And one of the things that I believe contributed to the eating, or what I would call my defensive eating, was that it seemed like in every situation people would say, "You're so pretty. You're so pretty." And I believe in my mind, I began to begin to think that it was because I was so attractive that these, sexual abusers, which I, of course I didn't use that term at that time, but they were attracted to me because of the way I looked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so one of the things, you know, coming up with the, you know, what people consider to be attractive nowadays is was thin. I came up with Twiggy, you know, the thinner you were, the more attractive you were. And so I believe in my mind, I was saying, okay, so if I get bigger, I'm not going to be as attractive.
Yep, I've heard that one before. Even from people where there's no sexual abuse, it's just fear of sex or discomfort around sex due to perhaps religious upbringing where sex is just uncomfortable. And I've heard, I've had many clients who've talked about, if I'm heavy, I can sort of bypass the whole issue of sex.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing that's real interesting to me about that, it was if I was upset and didn't want to be bothered with anyone, my defense would be to eat. And, you know, I figured as I eat and I continue to get bigger, they'll leave me alone. And it didn't correlate with me that also my attitude had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, like I said, and that's just the eating portion of it. And sure enough, as the eating problem really got worse in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I was pretty heavy in high school.
And at what point did you realize what was going on? What kind of help did you get? Who helped you realize it? And at what point, how were you able to ultimately deal with what technique or what approach did you use to deal with what you call defensive eating? How did you handle that?
Well, actually, it wasn't one particular technique. You know, even as I reflect in my book, it was a number of interventions that occurred. with, of course, my mother. I believe prayer had a lot to do with it. You know, from a spiritual perspective, from a mental perspective, finally having a male figure that I felt I could trust to protect, that, you know, didn't betray his role as a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to see that example, first of all. That was important for me.
And who was that? Who was that person for you?
My husband.
Your husband, I got it.
My husband, he was very instrumental in not only being patient with me, but I remember morning one day he said to me, "You're not that child anymore."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm not him. I'm not those men. I'm not those, you know, those male people that hurt you. I'm not going to hurt you, and you're not that child."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to realize that every time I would, people would call act out or revisit what happened, I'd actually go back there. You know, I'm leaving my present state of existence. I'm leaving 2000, and now I'm going back into the 60s, or I'm going back into the 50s. And so that was one of the things that I had to recognize.
Well, let me just ask one thing. I'm curious along the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you were so afraid of men and afraid I can't trust men and started eating in order to get heavy to keep men away,
mm-hmm.
how did you manage to open yourself up to your husband? How did you manage to open yourself up to creating a relationship with him and ultimately marrying him? Or had you done a lot of work on yourself before that point?
Well, I mean... Not really. Really, I was pretty destructive and reckless by the time we met. I'd done a number of things. I believe that even though I was trying to push people or protect myself, I still had that basic need to be wanted,
mm-hmm.
and to be loved and to feel love. I still wanted that. And I believe that that's one of the things that perpetrators use in order to get close to you, is that, you know, people want to be loved. And so, it's, you know, the term seems to be cliche-ish, but I think it's real, looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was definitely looking for that. As far as my husband was concerned, he pursued me and was able to see beyond the hard exterior. And let me just tell you this. I had body issues. So I went up and down. I would gain weight, then I'd get tired of all, you know, being heavy, and then I'd lose. And by the time we met, I was actually pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
By the time my husband and I met.
Yep.
Yeah, I had actually done a crash diet. I remember looking at television. He's actually my second husband. After my first daughter was born, I had ballooned up to like, I wore a size 18 at the time.
Okay.
And I could only fit stretch pants. And I remember very vividly looking at television, you know, all these women with the bikinis and stuff running along the beach. And here I am, I'm eating in front of the television. And I just started crying. You know, I'm crying with my food in my hand. And I'm like, I hate this. I'm going to have to do something about it. And I didn't know about going on any diets or anything, so I just started starving myself. I just wouldn't eat. And so, of course, I lost weight, you know, and it didn't look very healthy. But then I got small, and then I started working out, and, you know, because there's something that happens that I think is very important. When you begin to lose weight, the people in your environment, if they start complimenting you, that's giving you affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's giving you encouragement. So I began to change it, you know, into this person that people were attracted to. And now I thought, okay, now I want to be attractive.
Okay,
but then...
Well, but that was still willpower. Well, what did you do ultimately other than just not eat for a period of time? Did you find any techniques to deal with the need to eat? I mean, anybody can go on a diet and stay on it as long as the willpower lasts. But how do you deal with the need to eat, the compulsive need to eat? Did you find any particular technique or techniques that you've used that maybe my listeners and readers might find useful?
That stops me from the need to eat? No, I mean, really, now, if what I do now is I eat differently. I feel in a way that, you know, I eat the right types of foods. I actually eat often now. I have to make myself eat often. I learned about how my body operates. That's one of the things that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I said, okay, you can build up your metabolism. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 50s now. I'm in my middle 50s. I'm 56. And I needed a metabolism. And so I'm studying this. I'm studying from Midge Lancet with the Healing and Creative Arts Center. She was telling me how to eat every 2 to 3 hours. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm eating, but I'm learning how to eat the right types of food. And so, you know, but at the same time, what I recognize is if I start thinking in terms of a diet, quote unquote diet, I think about food too much. You know? And so I definitely, you know, don't, diets can make you think about food too much. You know, the reasons that you're eating.
That's true. Well, as I say, I mean, there's been books called Diets Don't Work, and they basically, all a diet is trying to eat less or differently than you would normally eat. So
mm-hmm.
by definition, a diet requires forcing yourself to do something that you wouldn't do naturally. And as a result of that, it requires a tremendous amount of willpower. So the real issue is how can you deal with that? We have one technique that I write about in my ebook on eating, but there are various techniques that people have how do you deal with the need to eat? I call it emotional eating. You call it defensive eating, but where we have negative feelings that we don't want to have. We either try to gain weight to remove ourselves from romantic or sexual situations, or we eat because we're triggered by neediness, by feeling unloved, by feeling depressed, anxious, bored, etc. So eating is a way of coping with negative emotions.
All I'm saying is
I have created one technique to mm-hmm. decondition those triggers, and I know that there's other techniques out there that people use to deal with emotional eating or defensive eating. Because diets, as you say, just in the long run, you can only go for so long, and then the pressure of doing something that's not natural or normal just stops. You can't do it anymore. So I'm just wondering, did you ever create any sort of an approach that's helped you when you feel I have a need to eat? It's my protection against men. It's my protection against sexual abuse if I'm heavy. Have you been able to deal with that, or is it mainly just willpower you've done?
Well, I don't even know that it's willpower. I'd have to think about that a little more, Morty, but I tell you what, I have a different attitude about food.
Okay, tell me what changed and how you changed it.
Okay, my attitude about food now is that food has its place. Mm-hmm. Food is meant to be, an enjoyable experience. And food is for eating in order to enjoy. So I've even gotten into making recipes, you know, just thinking of good ways to make recipes to make my food interesting,
mm-hmm.
which I really wasn't involved in that, you know, too much. I really didn't take into account what food was as much because it was a tool.
I got it.
Now it's enjoyment. So just say, for example, you know, I'm getting ready to make these vegetables. So I'm thinking about ways to, not that I write down the recipes, I'm not Susie Homemaker by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm into herbs now, into actually getting my food to taste good, learning about food, you know, the makeup of food, the vitamins that are contained in food. I'm appreciating food for what food is.
I got it. So how did you make that switch? Because if you use food as a defense, as a way of covering up negative feelings or a way of getting heavy to keep men away, etc., then mm-hmm. obviously you have a problem. If you were able to change what food means to you, your attitude toward food, that obviously makes a big difference. How did you do that? Is there anything particular that you could say that at what point did food change from being a defense to being something just to be enjoyed and, you know, what it's supposed to be in life? We enjoy eating and we eat to survive. We need to get enough food in us to, to nourish us the right kind of food. How did you create that attitude from what you had prior?
Well, I think that transition, I'm not exactly sure when that started. I would say as far as not using the food as a defense mechanism, I'm not exactly sure at what period of my life it actually switched. You know, you asked me this, and I'm going to have to go back and think about that, but I will tell you this. My attitude about food now just began, I would say, in February. My husband and I, we went to Florida. The person that I was telling you about, Midge Lancet, told us about something called the living lifestyle mm-hmm. where there's a lifestyle change, you know, and you wanting to be healthy. And I believe that we're at that age. We're baby boomers. So we're at the age now where, you know, you have our attention. We want to be healthy. We have grandchildren. We have children. And so, you know, she was telling us about this, and we went there for about a week. And when you go to Midge's house, you eat chicken soup. You can't drink coffee. You know? And it's a very peaceful, relaxing atmosphere. And what it did for us is it allowed the noise of the world to be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no noise, and so you can receive. Right. And so in that, you know, we were watching the way she prepared food. She said, this is how I prepare food. I prepared ahead of time so that I'm not rushed. So she actually, in that little bit of time, walked us through. She said a lot of times the reason that people eat so poorly is because they don't plan. They don't and she had to show us a shortcut because we're, you know, fast forward people. And, you know, this is how you can quickly plan your food. She showed us how, I mean, she had this pot, crock pot with chicken and vegetables. And right in front of our eyes, she put an apple in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we didn't think that we would like it, but just experimenting with food, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and so what she did was she kind of gave us that platform, and we're doing it together. I think that that makes a difference. And, you know, just learning about supplements, learning about how our bodies operate, that, I believe, has helped me to see food differently.
So that's real interesting. Thank you. I appreciate that explanation. Margaret, would you say that you've had a weight problem in the last 5 or 10 years?
Absolutely.
I mean, do you still keep ballooning up and down? Do you still keep going up and then having to diet to come down, or are you staying pretty steady?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I've just started losing. I had actually, what had happened is my mom passed about a year and a half ago, then my sister passed. And I noticed that from the time that my mom passed, I started getting heavier and heavier. And I just noticed some pictures previously. I had no idea that I had started, that I had even gained that much weight. And I believe my friend, you know, who noticed it, other people noticed it, but they didn't say anything. You know how that happens,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So it's not that I had been dieting or anything. I just was not eating the right way. You know, I definitely wasn't on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't take care of yourself, especially, like I said, when we get older, our metabolism is different and you eat. You know, it wasn't even that I was eating a lot. It was just I had poor eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm saying the eating habits that I have now, this new outlook as far as what food is there for, being able to enjoy food, I just got into that, like I said, in February.
And have you been losing weight eating that way?
Oh, my goodness. I've lost at least 20 pounds. I had clothes in my closet since my mother passed, and now I can wear. And this just happens.
Well, that's interesting in itself. You know, again, for the people reading and listening, this mm-hmm. is that even without changing, perhaps any emotional needs, without changing the need to eat, just eating healthily, just focusing on the good taste of it and focus learning about nutrition and different foods and experimenting with foods, just eating healthily mm-hmm. without even, you know, without trying to diet has taken off 10 pounds a month for the last 2 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that, again, appreciating what food is for, having fun with the food, my husband and I, you know, getting up, making up little recipes and
mm-hmm.
doing a little juicing here, drinking more water, just caring more about my health has made a tremendous. And a lot of times, you know, people say you need protein. So I made sure I've added protein to my eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I still pretty much eat, you know, I eat what I want to eat. Oh, and then I cut out certain things that I realize are not good for my body, like gluten. I learned about gluten, to remove the gluten.
Yeah.
And not have so much of the starches in there. And I don't feel like I'm depriving myself at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, congratulations. That's very exciting to hear.
Thank you.
Well, that's pretty much it. Is there anything else? I appreciate your taking the time to tell me your story. And this is, if there's any advice that you might want to pass on to people who eat emotionally, not because they're hungry, but as a way of covering up feelings or defensively in some way or another. Is there any final word you would like to give to them? Anything you've learned along the way yourself that might be useful to other people?
Yes. One of the things is that eating in order to keep people away, I mean, it's unhealthy. It's definitely destructive. It's bad for you physically as well as emotionally. And if it's not stopped, it can continue a cycle of chronic sicknesses where you'll have other health issues such as diabetes, which runs in our family, high blood pressure, that will actually compound the problem. And you might not even realize that the foundation of your problem has to do with your eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I very much appreciate your time, Margaret. And we are going to get this transcribed, get it up on our website, and make it available to everybody. And I'm sure that many people will find your words useful.
Okay. Thank you for having me, Morty.